Did you get the Windows 11 update?
Yeah, it's ready for my computer.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? That's right, it's me. It's your boy, Big Cozy, Too Cozy, aka your tribal chief. So make sure you acknowledge me. That is right, I have returned, and finally. And what? What is that? Oh, subscribers went up. Oh, hold up. The ratings just went up. What do you know? All of a sudden, the show is back in the limelight, in the spotlight where it deserves to be. Make sure you follow me at Big Cozy Too Cozy on Instagram. Make sure you follow my homeboy, Nigel. Let them know who you are. I'm just happy to be back.
We finally have the Tribal Chief back to the Highly Advised Podcast. This is the Highly Advised Podcast, episode 79. I am Relaxing Noji underscore Jackson, and I am here with my amigo, Big Cozy Too Cozy, and he is back from his hiatus.
Yes, my hibernation. Shout out Spence. Happy birthday, Spence. The Big 30, you know, he's been doing his thing. And he's out of town right now. He's touring the world. He just called me from New Zealand, and he said he's about to go to Antarctica. And what I mean by that, he's about to go to the jewelry store and get a lot of ice around his neck. So so shouts out to my dog, Spence. So what's up, Nigel? How's it been, man? It's been a long time since I talked to you, man. On the podcast, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm getting over a little, I would assume, to be a head cold, I guess. It kind of sucks. I haven't actually been sick in like what feels to be like since I got the shot. And prior to that, I don't even know the last time I was sick. So it's not really that nice. Actually, I'm not too happy about that. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. But it sounds like you need the booster shot. That's what it sounds like.
I need something, man. Like it was really weird because the other day I woke up, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, thought I had a fever, and I was just like, this is, you know, not normal. So I just, you know, have been coughing and runny nose, headaches, like all that. I'm just like not feeling it. No, I'm not. Like, I'm really not.
Well, I'm definitely sorry about that. I hope you feel better. Hopefully the listeners, they can deal with the nuisance of you coughing and you sneezing, but they're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it. So I'm just going to let the listeners know. Listeners, yes, I am back. I have returned. But before I tell you why I've been gone for a few weeks, make sure you do follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Advise Highly. And subscribe to our YouTube at the Highly Advised Podcast. Check us out. Leave comments, leave likes, make sure you subscribe, make sure you talk shit and recommend, or make sure that you praise us and acknowledge us. So
definitely acknowledge us.
Absolutely. So let me tell you, listeners, why I was gone for a few weeks. As some of you have may known, I've had a young boy, a young child brought into this life.
The young king.
The young king, the young emperor, the future tribal chief, one of the head of the tables for the Onibuje clan. And I feel like the past 3.5-4 weeks has been a roller coaster, lack of sleep, trying to understand what's been going on.
Nice.
Trying to do the right thing.
Nice.
Making sure that, you know, I'm not doing anything stupid.
Okay. How was that? Yeah.
And everything was cool.
Okay.
Because I got used to it. I learned from my mistakes. And now we're in a good place. And I have a healthy, happy baby boy. He's smiling every day. And that's what I'm very happy about. I'm done too, listeners. I'm done. I'm one and one. One girl, one boy.
So no triplets.
Absolutely not.
What? Why not? That's crazy.
I can't have any triplets, man.
Okay.
I'll lose my fucking mind if I do.
You wouldn't want five little ewes running around at the same time?
No.
Screaming and yelling at each other?
Would you want five little ewes running around?
I don't have one little me running around.
Do you want five little ewes plus a dog? running around.
Oh my God. No, I'm all right. Especially not the dog. That's a no.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, and I have a dog. So I have a whole lot going on in this household, but at the same time, it's a good, strong, big household for me and my happy family. So I can't complain.
But you know what, though? You know, that's all a blessing, you know? Like, it's nice to see that you're happy. You got family, you know? You got a boy, a girl, and a dog. I think that's, like, the holy trifecta of the family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm ready to move forward and keep making money.
Now, what trifecta is, did you pick up the new trilogy, or I should say the old trilogy, of Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, I did, actually. I pre-ordered it, excuse me, but for the listeners to know, to kind of understand what Nigel's mentioning right now, well, Rockstar Games, they just re-release, or they're about to re-release, the original Grand Theft Auto trilogy, the same trilogy that we all grew up playing on the original PlayStation 2, even when they got ported over to the original Xbox. Yes, that one. Vice City, San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto 3. Rockstar is re-releasing it, but they're doing a remaster. So meaning like they're updating the graphics, the controls, making it playable for today in modern times. And to answer Nigel's question, once again, yes, I already pre-ordered it. I'm a little excited, and I will be playing it the first day it comes out.
Now, my question is, which one of the games are you looking forward to playing the most?
Probably Vice City. Vice City was always my favorite Grand Theft Auto game because of, I just love the aesthetic and the theme of it. It was kind of like cartel, drug lord, Scarface-esque. Yep. I liked it. I thought it was very entertaining and stuff. I know San Andreas is very popular, and I like San Andreas. I thought it was fun, and I think me and you both probably can agree that we like the main character of San Andreas, but I think Vice City just had a real dope theme to it, and that's what made me like it a whole lot.
I think for me, I am looking forward to playing San Andreas the most, only because, like, there's just so much you can do in that game. Like, it really feels like it's, like, limitless, you know? Like, I think that's why so many people were looking forward to GTA 5 because, you know, they took out some of the features that they had in San Andreas and ended up, you know, putting pretty much whatever they wanted in the GTA 4 and then brought them back in GTA 5. You know what I mean? So, like, I think everybody was happy about that.
Yeah, I agree. San Andreas was kind of like peak whatever they could do at the time due to the technology capabilities for the PS2. It was peak, so I'm not mad at anybody being excited for San Andreas. Just me personally, I like Vice City. But with that being said, I don't think anybody is really excited for 3. I mean, no. I'm sure that they'll play it, but nobody's talking about 3.
The best thing about 3 might be like the soundtrack. You know what I mean? Like, because let's be real, like, out of the 3 of them, that's the one with the least amount of things to do.
Yeah,
your protagonist has the least amount of personality. He doesn't even speak. You know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't see so many people in a rush to play 3 again. That's what I'll say compared to the other two.
Yeah, I agree. What is one of your favorite things to do in Grand Theft Auto? Before we move on, my favorite thing was actually going around shooting the shit out of people. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but listeners, it's a video game. And
yes,
it's kind of promoted for you to cause mayhem and rampage.
Honestly, that's one of my favorite things to do. Now, you know, for the listeners, the young listeners who might be listening to this part, back in the day, cheat codes were big, and I loved getting like a machine gun of some heavy type and shooting the shit out of cars from a rooftop. That's what I like to do. I like to cause as much trouble as possible and get the most amount of stars and just try to survive as long as I can. Now, obviously, it's not something I would do in real life,
right?
But in the video game, very fun.
Yeah. I think at this point, people should know how to differ between video game and real life. I understand that you do have the select few who can't, but the majority should understand, like, hey, because we play NBA 2K, we're not professional basketball players. You know what I'm saying?
No, so, that you know like, what I mean? Like if you're shooting like Steph Curry on the you know, what is it?
2K?
No. On the court, then you should be in the NBA. You know what I mean? Right. Like you won't be playing 2K. And if you know, you won't be sitting on your couch playing games like us.
Yeah, exactly. So we know that it's entertainment and that's why we're mentioning it. But just keeping it along lines of entertainment, and now we're kind of probably taking a
more serious role.
Yeah, more serious role, more unfortunate turn. Well, listeners, as some of you may know, if not all of you, Alec Baldwin, he's caught up in a controversy and he shot somebody on set of a new film or TV show that he was acting in, directing, producing, whatever. And he was given a live gun, but it should have been a prop gun. And he accidentally killed the cinematographer that was shooting for that film or TV show or whatnot. Listeners, please let us know if it's a film or TV show. We don't have it up in front of us to see exactly what we're recording.
Now, if I was Alec Baldwin, I would be extremely upset. Because, you know, I think when most people, I would assume actors on stage, they're like, hey, this gun isn't loaded. You know what I mean? I'm sure they do the test and all the other stuff when, you know, it's not around. But they're like, hey, there's not live rounds on set. Probably not a gun that's just chilling to the side. I think he was handed the gun by somebody. But even still, like, who loaded the live round into the gun that was on the set? You know what I mean? I feel like somebody definitely made a mistake.
Absolutely. I think it was either a setup, as some people are saying, or it was just a very bad, careless mistake,
right?
Which is inexcusable. It's inexcusable at all. So from what I've read, a little bit that I've read is Alec was handed this live gun from the assistant director, and the assistant director was handed this live gun from the team that was in charge of props and et cetera, et cetera. And so this investigation is ongoing, and Alec Baldwin, not only he apologized to the young lady that passed,
right,
but not only he apologized to her family and her supporters and et cetera, but he was willingly wanting to work with authorities to let him know, like, yeah, I shot the gun and I accidentally killed this woman and I 100% apologize for it. Please investigate me, do what you got to do, you know, to help prove his innocence. Like, this is not, obviously, it was never his intention to do the shit. And from everything that's been put out so far, it looks like, hey, he's looking more and more innocent as each update keeps coming along. And it's such a shame that somebody had to lose their life, either by somebody setting up something or by a really bad mistake.
It sucks, man, because I'm sure when he shot the gun, maybe he didn't even know it was loaded. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure what the situation prior to it is. It reminds me of a time, Lyle, you were actually with me when this happened. I picked up a BB gun at, you know, a mutual friend's house, and I was just waving it around, and I shot it into his wall.
Oh, yeah.
And after that moment, I was like, wow, that was really careless of me. I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, that shit was kind of crazy. Like,
can't pass the sticks to you, man.
I learned my lesson, man.
No Glick for Nigel, no Glicks. Know how to handle himself.
Nah, I got a little better. That was in my younger days, for sure.
Yeah, it's just such a sad situation. And obviously, listeners, the investigation is still ongoing as we're recording. Things are still going to be pending for a while. It's just so unfortunate for the young lady, the cinematographer, to lose her life. We should really look up her name and actually mention her name to give her the proper respect. But it's a really shitty situation. I hope Alec Baldwin, he's able to get through this, because now he's going to have this on his conscience for the rest of his life. Like, damn, I didn't mean to kill this person. Obviously, that was never the intention, but now I killed somebody without my doing, without me having a hand in it. And that must eat up at somebody, you know?
The thing is, I'm sure that this could be scarring for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because like he, you know, killed somebody, you know,
right.
Regardless of if it was accident on purpose, like he has to live with, like you said, he has to live with the fact that somebody is dead because of something he did. And the whole thing is just unfortunate, just all around. Like, I'm sure it's like nobody wins. You know what I mean? Even if you figure out what happened, nobody wins.
Yeah. I know this doesn't really mean much because it does is not going to bring her back to life, but hopefully this was a result of a grave mistake versus malicious intent. Because if it's malicious intent, then whoever that person is, they're going to be public enemy number one.
Well, I know there is somebody else who had full intent and is public enemy number one for a certain group of people, but the feelings on him seem to be a little bit mixed for public perception. As you know, Dave Chappelle put out the special, The Closer, and the people who are working at Netflix are protesting it. I would assume like people from the transgender community and, you know, others who support the community as well are protesting, you know, the new special that came on. Now, I watched the special personally, and what I'll say is this. I thought the special was funny. I don't think that there was ill intent in what he said. I don't think that it was offensive. You know, it's not offensive to me, but then again, I'm not part of that community, so I can't really speak for how it comes off to them. You know what I mean? But at the same point in time, I think that if you listen to what he's saying, he's trying to get across a specific point and not necessarily trying to offend anybody.
So my thing is this. I watched the special. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. And I understood, coming from me, I understood what Dave Chappelle was saying when he was speaking of that community. Now, of course, we're not part of that community, not saying that we're against it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We're just not a part of that community because that's not how we choose to live our lives. So I'm thinking of, okay, I wonder what has made them so upset. And that's the interesting thing to me. I want to hear, okay, what did Dave say that has really upsetted you? Don't say, oh, this is an attack on our community. No, I want to know, what did he say? And what he said that wasn't supposed to be in the context on what he was saying. And I know maybe some listeners, I don't know, some listeners might disagree with this, but I agreed with the Netflix CEO when he was standing up for Dave. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, hey, you're listening to a comedian that's telling jokes about something. He's not necessarily offending anybody, but okay, let's play the game saying that he did offend you guys. Now you want us to remove this from our platform. Well, why remove that when we have things promoting ultra violence on there,
like Squid Game, for example,
like Squid Games and the other ultra violent content Netflix has that people love to watch and parade, like Ozark is one of my favorite shows. It's not a family friendly show. It's not a show that you want to promote to society neither, when you're talking about positivity, unity, and community,
right?
So I wonder, I don't know, because I don't have the answer in it, of course. And I want somebody to educate me on why it was offensive. Maybe somebody could explain.
See,
but let me just
figure it out.
It's just one of those cases where it's kind of like, we got to cut all the, not media, but all the theatrics to the side and really get to the point like, okay, what really pissed you off? What did he say that made it be like, hey, nobody can fuck with this?
My thing is that throughout the special, he was saying, look, I'm on your side. You know what I mean? And he was saying, like, talking about the transgender comedian that, you know, he met and they did shows together, you know? Me personally, I agree with you on that part, you know, because it's hard to really move past this when it's like, you know, from an outsider's point of view, it comes off like, I'm upset and y'all need to take this off. And it's like, okay, well, why are you upset? And it's like, that doesn't matter. Y'all need to take it off. And I don't think that's necessarily the best way to get a point across. You know what I mean? Right. But at the same point in time, like, because they are upset, I would like to hear why they are upset. You know what I mean? Just because, like, it's important. You know, it's important for dialogue and, you know, getting together as a society and whatnot. I haven't heard that part of it yet. I just keep on hearing the other part. You know what I mean? Now, mind you, I don't know many transgender people, you know, but at the same point in time, I haven't heard any transgender person that, like, I guess has the platform to do so, say anything that's like a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see that. It's been all nothing but Netflix workers. And it's so funny that it's just kind of like they're all coming. Well, not all of them, but a few of them are coming out and saying what they're saying. But they haven't really given the reason or what Dave said that caused the outrage. Dave even came out recently saying, like, hey, I'm willing to sit down and talk to you to see what the problem actually is. But I like that the fact that Netflix is like, no, we're not canceling nothing. We're just not. And I support that because I think the cancel thing is what exactly Dave Chappelle is talking about. It's just so crazy. You know, you could crack all the jokes in the world. He talked about Black people, Asian people, white people. He could have talked about Spanish. I have to rewatch the special and see if he did or not. But the one thing that people are trying to get him canceled for is for the shit with that community.
Well,
that's the thing that he's talking about, man. That's the thing he's talking about. People from the Pan-African Society didn't come out and say, hey, we got to cancel him because he dropped too many N-bombs. Asian people didn't come out and say, hey, stop Asian hate with Dave Chappelle. Hell, even despite the fact he's married to a Filipino woman, I could be mistaken. I thought she was Filipino. She could be another form of Asian culture. But I just look at it, it's just kind of like, okay, like, what is the problem? Why are we protesting? Are we protesting because he mentioned something about you? Or are we protesting because it's something to feel sensitive about? And I'm not saying that as a light turn. I'm just saying, like, I just want to know, what did he say that really was bad? Because if that's the case, then why is it everybody else banding up together to cancel this guy as a tyrant and a villain?
Like, what he said that was important to me was, you know, transgender, the transgender community, like, people are pretty sensitive to what they have going on, but things with Black people have been going on for a long time, and it seems like they get better very slowly. You know what I mean? And that just doesn't make much sense. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. But it's like, I just want to have, we need to have some discourse about it in order to get past it. That's what I feel like it is. I just feel like we're to that point because it just seems like there's a lot of misunderstanding and anger, but no type of resolution behind it. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you this. How do you feel about the Kyrie Irving situation then with the protesters that's recently, you know, trying to get in the Barclays Center over vaccine issues? Cause he took his stance of saying, like, hey, I'm not going to get vaccinated.
You know, here's my thing about the whole vaccination thing with Kyrie Irving. I think it's kind of interesting because I don't mind the fact that he's not getting vaccinated. I feel like if he doesn't want to do that, that's his business. Now, that being said, that doesn't work out with his job. But yeah. But at the same point in time, he has every right to not get vaccinated if he doesn't want to. He just can't play. And if he doesn't want to play, then he can't play. I mean, I don't really know how to do it. It's like, if you have a job, people in the military right now have to get vaccinated, period. Right. They don't have a choice.
Right.
If they don't want to get vaccinated, they get discharged. And that's that.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving is in the National Basketball Association. They want him to get vaccinated or he can't play. He can't just say, no, I want to play anyway. He has to follow their rule set. It just comes with the game.
So here's my thing on Kyrie. I support Kyrie in a stance. Hey, I'm not going to get vaccinated. Cool. You know why I support you, Kyrie? Because it's like, I feel like somebody should have the choice if they want to be vaccinated or not, right? For me, and Nigel, feel free if you want to reveal or not, that's up to you. But for me, I'm vaccinated, listeners.
I got it.
I made the choice to be vaccinated for my family, and I think that it was best for me and my household. That's it. I don't give a shit. I don't give a rat's ass that if you're vaccinated or not, it doesn't matter to me. Now, if you sick and you're coughing like a motherfucker, you're not coming in my household or you're not coming in my presence. No, because you need to take care of that shit. But if you're somebody who's like, hey, I don't want to be vaccinated, then cool, bro. I'm not mad at you. Or cool, sis. I ain't mad at you. I don't care because you believe that's best for you. You know what I mean? And I feel like we shouldn't try to force things on other people that let them have that free will and that free choice. That's how I believe it. I'm, you know, and this is not something going against science or going against people's freedom, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not that. I just feel like, hey, if you don't want to have the vaccine and you understand whatever kind of consequences that may come, and I'm not just talking about health wise, but financially wise with your employer or something like that, and you're willing to accept those consequences, that's on you. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's kind of like, hey, I'm going to quit my job today. Well, why would you do that? You know, it's not really good for you financially. Well, I'm just going to quit and I understand da 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 da. At some point, you're going to be like, well, I can't talk to him no more. It's like talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
If he's cool with it, then what the fuck am I going to do?
It's not your money. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's how I see it with the Kyrie thing. Now, here's why I'm like, okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, shit. If you're somebody who doesn't want to be vaccinated, and this goes for Kyrie and across the board down the line at any job, and your employer says, hey, if you don't get vaccinated, you will lose your job or you will be placed on leave without pay, not necessarily meaning you're fired, but hey, you just won't get any money out of us. You have to accept those consequences. You have to accept it. You going, oh, this sucks, it's so unfair. Well, to the powers to be, or I hope I said that phrase right.
Powers that be,
they make the decisions on the paychecks. And if that shit, you don't like that shit, and I'm not saying that it should be, I'm not saying that you should like it or you got to, oh, suck it up. No, I'm not saying that, but you have to be prepared. Okay, my employer doesn't fuck with me not getting the vaccine, so I need to make a game plan to go to somewhere where I could get money. That's it. Walmart, if they had this vaccine thing and you're not doing it, do you think Walmart is going to change their whole fucking thing overnight?
No.
For a few employees. No, they're not. Walmart's been, you know, they've been in legal battles for years for employees. So they're not going to fucking switch overnight over the vaccine stuff. So I that's just my thing. If you know the consequences, prepare to battle the consequences. Don't accept the consequences and start complaining about it.
Now, my thing is that, like, I don't like how the media is kind of making it like, oh, Kyrie doesn't want to play basketball anymore. He doesn't love the game. He's never loved the game, blah, 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 blah.
Stephen A.
Yeah, that shit's dumb. I think they just try to make him look bad because, you know, they don't necessarily like his decision. Kyrie Irving seems to be a lot of things, but I would assume he likes the game of basketball. He's definitely an eccentric type of dude. He's different. You know what I mean? But I don't think he's necessarily an idiot or necessarily doesn't like the game of basketball either. I think he just has his own personality. I don't think his personality really vibes well with playing basketball for the NBA, if I'm being honest. Like, I feel like they've had a problem with him for a long time.
So I'm not trying to be a little controversial, but Nigel, I think you know when I'm saying this, and maybe some of the listeners who have a brain between their eyes, they might understand what I'm trying to say, but you know how a certain group of people that are not coming out to Kyrie's defense, but he's on the same side as them with his vaccine thing. but they're not coming to his defense.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I think it's funny. It's very pick and choose. And that's why there's a lot of fucking problems in this country, because it's shit like that.
Yeah, man. Like, it's crazy. I don't really get it. I don't know. I hope Kyrie ends up figuring out what's going on, or he just sets off for the season and, like, they can just kind of leave him alone. He seems like a guy who just wants to be left alone, if I'm being honest.
Look, man, Kyrie, he's accepted the fact, like, hey, I'm losing millions with the Brooklyn Nets, blah, blah. I think there's something in the NBA where, like, he could still play basketball, but not with the Brooklyn Nets. It will have to be with another team that doesn't have strict vaccine policies like the Brooklyn Nets does. So maybe he might be able to have a workaround, and maybe he'll be able to go to another team that be like, hey, Kyrie, you don't have to vaccinate during home games, whatever the fuck. I don't know. Somebody would have to explain the legalities or whatever, and the logistics of the whole situation, because it's not just black and white. It's like, oh, he can no longer play basketball forever. No, it's not like that. I think he could still play, but he has to meet a certain criteria or something.
Now, my thing is, maybe they could trade him to the Sixers, because if you've seen the news, which I'm sure you have because you watch basketball like I do, Ben Simmons, he's done in Philly. He said, hey, I have mental issues, showed at the practice with his phone out, apparently just launching the ball all over the place in the gym in practice, does not give a fuck anymore. The people in Philly have essentially run out Ben Simmons. I'm not going to lie. Me personally, I kind of find it to be a little funny. If he has any mental issues going on, I'm sure he might, because last season, and I'm sure ever since the end of last season, everybody from Philly has been giving Ben Simmons a hard time. Somebody I follow on Twitter, their name is Ben Simmons Hate Account. You know what I mean? So, like, you know what I get it. He doesn't want to be here anymore, but he has to show up and get paid.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's my thing with Ben Simmons. I hope that if he actually has a real mental issue going on, kind of like with Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, hopefully the community comes together and actually support the brother, and hopefully he could get through that. So if he has a real issue, for sure, we're all support of him, because we know mental health is a real thing, and we hope he gets through that. Now, if this is kind of like a ploy to get out of Philly even faster, exactly, then the dude, he deserves everything that's coming to him right now, because nobody said anything. Nope. We all want Ben. Well, not me, because I'm not a Philadelphia 76ers fan, but the 76ers fans, they want the motherfucker to shoot the ball. Exactly. They don't want him driving into open lanes when he could clearly dunk and pass the ball.
It was ridiculous, man. Yeah. And the thing is, right, like, I'm not even really like a basketball fan like that, but when I saw him pass the ball when Trae Young was right in his face, I like, you saw me. Like, I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I wasn't happy. I put it like that.
Yeah. Hopefully Ben Simmons, just like Kyrie, he could go to a place where he's being taken care of, because his situation in Philly, it's even if he has meant, you know, his mata is back on top. Hopefully, you know, I don't even think the relationship can be prepared in Philly. Hey, I just don't.
I'll take Kyrie in Philly. Why not?
100%. Who wouldn't? Shit. But Kyrie's the better point guard. So let's not get that confused. Yeah. Despite how he is outside of the game of basketball, when it comes to the court, he's one of the best point guards in the league. So
I like Kyrie Irving. I always have liked Kyrie Irving. I think he has, like, you know, a good skill set, and when it comes down to it, he shoots the fucking ball. So I'm not too upset about that.
Yeah. And the guy is nice. He's
real nice. Yeah. Now he might be injured a lot, but he can ball. Yeah,
he can ball. The motherfucker can ball. So, well, Nigel, now we have to get to another unfortunate part of the podcast. We got to talk about the UFC fight that happened this past weekend. And the reason why I say it's unfortunate, because, yes, the main event was a banger of a fight. So let's get that out of the way. But what led up to the fight is a bunch of train wreck of the week and donkey of the days, because, man, this was a fucking shit show.
Yeah, I wasn't like very excited about this card, I'm not gonna lie. I wish I would have saw the Shakur Stevenson fight that happened last night.
Yeah,
but I missed it, unfortunately. But yeah, no, Paulo Costa versus Marvin Vettori, good fight. Marvin Vettori clearly won. I think he clearly was getting the better of the exchanges. You know, if you've been paying attention to this fight card throughout the week, Paulo Costa, right around Wednesday, he might have said, hey, I'm not going to make 185. Let's fight at 195. Then Friday comes around and it's all of a sudden the 205 fight. Okay, cool, whatever. And Marvin Vettori is just like, you know, down to fight. And Paulo Costa, who has been iffy since the Israel Adesanya fight, drinking wine night, a bottle of wine the night before the fight, and just doing all the shit. Like, if I was Dana White, I'd be like, hey, man, I'm not going to really be willing to work with you in the future. Your ass is going to 205. Like, for real.
Man, fucking, first of all, when I first seen this main event fight, I was like, oh, man, it's the battle of the two idiots. The battle of the two idiots. You got the guy who blames a brutal beating from Adesanya, from sipping on a bottle of wine. Like, what? First of all, you're a fucking idiot. You were talking about the biggest fight of your life, and you're getting drunk the night before.
The night before.
Then we have another idiot who's extremely angry. Ah! Just can't control his anger. He clearly got taken to school in his fight with Adesanya, and then he still thinks that he did enough to win. So it was the battle of the two idiots. Yeah, both of the idiots can fight, but they had idiotic excuses on their losses. So they already lost fan support. But when Paulo Costa pulled the shit that he pulled, hey, he should have just came out and said, fuck it, I'm not cutting weight. I want an advantage over this motherfucker because I want to knock him out. He should have just said that. And fans probably would have accepted that more than the shit he was pulling all week. The battle of the two idiots, Nigel.
So Sean Strickland was actually saying that in an interview earlier in the week. He was just like, yeah, they're both dumb. Like, he's like, they're both dumb. He's like, I'm training with both of them, and like, they're both just stupid. And he's right, man. Like, I mean, it was an interesting fight. They definitely both did a striking job. You know what I mean? Like, they said the statistic they threw out was funny. They said that, if I'm not mistaken, that was in the top four most strikes thrown that didn't have a fight with Max Holloway. So think about how many strikes Max Holloway is throwing in a fight if he's somewhere in the top four multiple times.
It was just two dingbats, two idiots just coming together. It's like two meatheads. It's just crazy.
Now, where do you think Marvin Vettori is in the middleweight division? Do you think he's coming back for the third fight anytime soon?
So I don't think he's getting another shot for Israel unless he goes on like a 5-fight win streak. You notice with the UFC, hey, you lose twice to somebody, and first time might not be dominated, but the second time he clearly got taken to school. Hey, right. you got to prove yourself for that third fight. So I see Vettori, you know, taking on some other top 10 middleweights before he can even sniff a title shot. Now, if Israel loses or vacates the belt, then Vettori, he'll have a quicker path. But as of right now, he's going to need to go. He needs to have, you know, several wins.
Yeah, they're going to use Marvin Vettori to knock off a few contenders, if anything. If he can keep on winning, that's the case. And, you know, if he, you know, continues to win against top competition, there's no really going to be nobody else. I mean, he's kind of in a lucky situation, I should say, because middleweight Israel Adesanya has beat most of the top people. So
he's beat everybody except for Darren Till, who's over fucking rated and overranked most of the time. And the new guy that they just signed that Israel lost to twice in kickboxing, the guy that knocked him out.
Yeah, but I hate when they do shit like that, because that's like when they signed, and I can't even remember the guy's name, who beat Conor McGregor, like the last person to beat Conor McGregor. Oh,
Joe Duffy,
who could actually kind of fight. They signed him, and they were like, oh, is this guy going to be the guy to beat Conor? And No, he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, different organization. In this case, a different sport entirely. You know what I mean? So to me, that means nothing if he doesn't beat anybody else.
Yeah. So we'll see. And follows Paulo Costa goes, him being up at fucking 205, it's just best for his career. Since yeah. He obviously can't cut the weight no more. And
he might have more success.
Yeah, he might, because the lightweight division is so fucking shallow at the bottom. So
right. Now, did you get a chance to see this Shakur Stevenson fight at all last night?
No, so I caught highlights. Now, it was free if you have ESPN Plus, which I know for a fact that we both do. But for the listeners who may not know, it is free on ESPN Plus if you have a subscription to them. And I just wasn't watching it, man. I was actually watching fucking Dune. I was watching that. Yeah. So I didn't have a chance to watch it. I should go back to watch the fight, but I saw the highlights and shit because people love posting the shit on like Twitter and Instagram. Right. And I read the detailed breakdown of the fight too. And it just seemed like Shakur, he beat the hell out of this Herring guy. I don't know the first name, but he beat the hell out of him, who was a champion, one of the four major organization belts. Right. So now they're saying, hey, now he could fight a Lomachenko, Oscar Valdez, maybe try his luck with Tank, Teofimo. So, which is Devin Haney, which is interesting because these are the fights that a lot of people want to see. So shouts out to Shakur Stevenson. And hopefully Shakur Stevenson doesn't take the path as the other boxers I just mentioned and actually fight real competition, because so far, so good with him.
Now, the only one of those people that I'm really familiar with that you named, like, well, I mean, I know the people because y'all have talked about him. I think the only one that I've actually watched an actual fight is Teofimo. And I'll be curious to see them two fight. I think that would be kind of interesting just because of where they're at in their careers.
Yeah. All I know is Teofimo, he has to fight a jobber in next month. And so we'll see. It's just boxing, a whole bunch of quote unquote mandatories, jobbers, a lot of ducking and dodging.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Now, we do have a really big card coming up this weekend. UFC 267, one of the biggest cards to come on this year as far as on paper. They're putting this card on ESPN Plus, so it should be available to a lot more people. It's not going to be on a pay-per-view. You can watch this if you have it. It is stacked from top to bottom, at least on the main card. Lyle, what are your thoughts?
UFC 267 is the start to a string of good events that's about to happen. Because listeners, after UFC 267, literally 7 days after, you got UFC 268, which is probably the most anticipated fight for the rest of the year, Usman versus Covington too. But we're not going to get into that, because after UFC 268, you got UFC 269, Dustin Poirier versus Charles Oliveira. After that, you got UFC 270, which is Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane.
What?
You see that UFC, you got to hire Big Cozy, Too Cozy. You know what I'm saying? What's that, Nigel? The ratings went up again.
Oh, man. Matchmaker of the year.
There we go. So UFC 267, I'm telling you right now, good card, solid card. I'm actually a little surprised that they're giving this away for free.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good fights on here. The fight that I am actually looking forward to the most, surprisingly, maybe to some.
Well, hold on, wait. Should we get into the card before we get into what you're excited for?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right. I'm just going to start from the beginning. All right.
Do from like the first main card to the main event.
All right. So the first fight we have is Magomed Ankalaev versus Volkan Ozdemir. No time himself.
So I think Ozdemir is going to lose. I'm not familiar with his opponent, actually, but Usabir, he hasn't been looking great lately. And when he does win, he hasn't, besides his first few fights in UFC, you notice that he struggles to win. That no time thing hasn't been there for years.
You know, I think it's interesting with Volkan Ozdemir, because I don't really think he's all that great. I think he did get two knockouts very fast. But mind you, one of them was over Jimmy Manoa. And Jimmy Manoa known for his glass jaw. You know what I mean? Like, so I can't really say that I'm overly like impressed with his wins in there. I mean, they are like devastating for sure because the people were knocked out. But when you look at the who he was knocking out, I'm just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, these are people who are like usually, I would say, like mid-level, light heavyweights. Never anybody who's like, yo, this is the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's just move on.
All right. The second fight is Khamzat. He's making his comeback after probably like a year of being out. And Li Jiangliang. Now, I've seen him fight a little bit.
Khamzat or Li?
Both of them. But specifically Li Jiangliang. He's an interesting fighter, to say the least.
I think this is a good fight because Li, he's a guy that he's obviously on the come up. The UFC, they've been trying to boost their Chinese market because, and especially when you have Zhang Wei Li. So he's an interesting case because, yes, he is ranked in the UFC rankings and he's actually a good fighter, but he hasn't beat like any top welterweights yet. And that's not fault to him because he's working his way up. But him versus Khamzat, I think that's the perfect test because it's like, okay, if you get past Khamzat, dude, the only people you should be fighting is top 10 welterweights now. You should not be fighting nobody less outside of top, none of that. And Khamzat, this is perfect for him too because it's like, hey, he's coming back. If he knocks off a notable fighter in Li, then we're going to go ahead and shoot you straight back to the top 10, get you a big top 10 fight like he originally was scheduled before he had COVID. Now, who I'm picking Khamzat. I think he's going to finish Li. If he doesn't finish him in the first, because Li is actually going to be tougher than what most expect, he's definitely going to put him away early in the second.
I think that he finishes Li. I think this is actually a very good matchup for Khamzat. You know, I'm not going to lie, because Li is an interesting fighter because he fights kind of slow, but he has knockout power. He can knock you out and he can knock out Khamzat, if I'm being real, because we don't know what his chin really looks like. So it's like, I think Khamzat can win. This is a good matchup for him. I think the match was kind of made for him to win. But if Li were to knock him out or do something crazy, I'd be like, well, like, this isn't a guy you can really sleep on because he's known for like just being a tough out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I agree 100%.
So the next fight is Alexander Volkov versus Marcin Tybura.
So I got Volkov because Volkov, he right now, the way the heavyweight division goes, Volkov is a top five heavyweight fighter.
Yep.
And if your name is not Francis, if your name is not Derek Lewis, if your name is not Cyril Gaon or Stipe, you're going to lose to Volkov. It's just Volkov, he just, against other top five heavyweights, he isn't going to win. But if you're not in that top five that I just mentioned, you're not going to beat him. He's good. He's just, it's like he's almost there, almost getting over the hump. It's like Michael Bisping. You know what I'm saying? Michael Bisping was always almost there. Until, of course, eventually he knocked out Luke Rockhold. But prior to that, he was almost there. And he will always lose these big contender fights. So, well, this fight, though, is kind of a fight like, hey, Volkov, we're going to give you, you know, we're trying to put you back in the win column. We'll give you a fight against a notable guy, Marcin Tybura. Now, Tybura, he's a solid heavyweight fighter, but he's obviously not the level of Volkov. And I'm choosing Alexander Volkov. I think he'll win by decision because Tybura is not necessarily the easiest guy to put away. He's only been finished by like fucking people who could knock people out heavily, like Derek Lewis.
I'm going to give Alexander Volkov the decision or finish in the third round. I think he just has overall better stand-up than Marcin Tybura. I think that if Marcin Tybura were to catch him, then I think he can win. But I think overall, Alexander Volkov has the better striking in the match. I think he has the better overall game, too, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, for a heavyweight, he's pretty skilled, you know what I mean? So this isn't going to be an easy fight. And I think that if Marcin can actually go and beat him, then, you know, let's see what else he got as far as top five.
Yep.
Now, the next fight we have, now, you were about to say this is, well, I'm not sure if this is your favorite or your most look forward to fight, but these next three fights are all fantastic matchmaking, let me tell you. So, first fight, lightweight, Islam Makhachev versus Dan Hooker.
Yes, sir. That's a cracker of a fight right there.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah, that's the fight I'm looking forward to the most. I think this fight is going to be a real, real telling. All right, who's going to be fucking next?
Yep.
For this title? Because if Islam wins, which I'm picking him to win, then it goes to show, like, hey, this motherfucker is one fight away before he gets a title shot. If Dan Hooker wins, damn.
Yep.
Once Dan Hooker put himself in a position to be one fight away from a title
shot. It's like that, though. It's like that.
This is a great fight.
This fight's serious.
I don't think either of these fighters, whoever wins, the winner should not fight down. They need to fight up. And I don't think, I'm sorry, RDA, I know you got injured, but tough shit for you. You're in the back of the line. Because the winner of this fight needs to be moved forward. Maybe the winner of this fight fights the winner of Gaethje and Chandler. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what this fight is. I think Islam Makhachev is going to win. I think the wrestling is too much, man. It's Khabib 2.0 with better striking.
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like this fight is actually kind of tough to call. I think I'm going to go with Islam Makhachev too, Makami. I'm not sure if I'm like necessarily going to agree with you that he has better striking than Khabib. But I'll say that his style is very, 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 very similar. If Dan Hooker hasn't prepped his takedown defense, he's going to be in for a long night. If he hasn't prepped getting up off his back, he's going to be in for a long night. Not only that, but I feel like Islam might be more looking for the finish on the ground, is what I'll say, than Khabib. Khabib will just beat you up for five rounds straight with no problem. Islam, he doesn't really look like he's trying to do all that.
Yeah.
And I like it, you know, so.
Yeah, he does seem like he's more active. Like, hey, I'm aggressively looking for the, kind of like Hamza. They're looking to finish,
Yep, so like, me personally, I'm going to take Islam, but man, like, he has a tough night in for him because I'm a fan of Dan Hooker. And Dan Hooker, he's not for, like, the bullshit. He's going to be fighting with you.
Yeah, he's very tough out.
Yes.
That's why I was a little surprised when he got knocked out by Michael Chandler. Yep. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, man, that's the fight I'm looking forward to the most.
Now, the co-main event, Piotr Jan versus Corey Sandhagen. I knew you were about to correct me because I messed up his name like several times.
Piotr. Gotta say it right, bro. Gotta say it right. Shout out to Piotr Jan. But I'm rooting for Corey Sandhagen. I just think Piotr Jan is going to win. I just think that Dillashaw barely through the skin of his teeth beat Corey Sandhagen, which a lot of people thought Corey won that fight. But if you really pay attention to that fight, Corey, he made some mistakes in that fight that I think that some of those mistakes he made, you can't make those same mistakes with Piotr Jan. I think Piotr Jan, he's proved like he's the best bantamweight in the world, despite him losing a DQ to Aljamain Sterling. Piotr Jan, he's nothing to fuck with. The guy, he could be very aggressive. And if you don't have the pressure to put on him for five rounds, you're not going to beat him. Because I think what Aljamain did to Piotr in their fight in that first round was that was the blueprint to beat him. Problem is, do you have efficient enough striking and the cardio to keep that up? Because if you don't, you can't beat the guy. I think Sandhagen has the cardio. I just don't think he has the pressure to do that. The striking pressure to do that.
Even Aljamain, when he was trying to do that to Piotr Jan, like he got tired by the fifth round. You could tell he was getting exhausted.
Yeah. I think he was gassed before the fifth round, man.
Yeah. I mean, he looked to be slowing down by the third, especially the fourth, you know what I mean? But like, I mean, who knows like how that fight would have finished, but regardless, I'm not going to lie. I have Corey in this fight, actually. I think the Sandman's going to take it. I think he has more smooth striking than Piotr Jan does. I think Piotr Jan has the striking to stick in there with Corey Sandhagen. And I think that he could catch Corey Sandhagen. But I think that overall, if I had to go with who I thought had the better chance of winning this fight, I'm going with Corey Sandhagen. And I honestly want him to win as well.
Well, put your money where your mouth is, bro.
You trying to make a bet?
10,000.
Wow. let's bet PS5. So how about that?
Nah. Why don't we bet coins?
What? You said coins?
Coins, yeah. Bet coins.
Like money.
Crypto, yeah. Coins.
Maybe. Wait, we want to see.
Yeah, that's right. Let's say we're on a different time. You know what I'm saying? We're not betting $2 to $3. We don't do that shit.
In the thousands now. We're not fucking around with that cheap shit. You know?
Exactly.
All right. The main event of 267. Jan Błachowicz versus Glover Teixeira. I have Jan. I mean, I just think that he has the better stand-up, better ground. Well, I think they have a kind of an equal ground game. But I think overall, he has the, you know, skill set to beat him. Glover, he's getting older by the day. I don't think he's necessarily, you know, going to be faster or hitting stronger. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's good that he is getting the title shot because he deserves it, but...
I agree with you. The only reason I'm choosing Jan is because of the age factor, actually. If we're talking about Glover about like 5-6 years ago, I would have chosen Glover because that Glover, he was a bulldog. He was actually a tank. But Glover now, his durability and his chin has been saving him in a lot of these fights because he's been outlasting, weathering the storm a lot. And I think Jan Błachowicz is a much smarter fighter to throw everything in one going and then hoping that puts you away. And not only that, Jan Błachowicz, I think he has, at this point in time, I think Jan Błachowicz or Błachowicz, forgive me for mispronouncing the last name, I think he has more power. I think he has that legendary Polish power. And I think I actually think he has the better striking between the two right now. And not to crap on Glover, it's just that he's definitely slowed down. And also, if you look at strength of schedule, Jan has beaten more quality opponents in their prime than Glover has in their past five fights. So I just think that Jan has the better youth is on his side, and I feel like that's the reason why he's going to pull off a decision win.
Now, if he goes in there and is sloppy, of course he can be caught by Glover.
Correct.
But I mean, overall, I just think that this is a kind of a match made for Jan, and I'm curious to see who he fights next.
Well, assuming that he wins, because you never know, Glover might catch him in a submission or knock him out. Assuming that he wins, the next fight for him to make is Jiří Porzacha or Porhaka. That's the next fight.
And I would like that.
Yeah, let's do it, you know? So we will see. And I'm excited for UFC 267.
Now, you know, there was another fight that was announced other than, you know, UFC MMA fights. I know that you're super interested to see Mike Tyson come back. And I know that you're definitely excited to see him fight Logan Paul.
Man. Boxing. We had a fantastic heavyweight clash of the titans between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And then the bar for boxing gets returned to its lowest bar possible. What Tyson involved in. Mike Tyson is an absolute legend. I'm not mad at him for this. Logan Paul, I wouldn't be mad at this if him and his brother didn't come out talking about we want to be the best boxers in the fucking world. You don't fight Mike Tyson to declare yourself one of the best boxers in the world. You're fighting Mike Tyson for what it is, a celebrity cash grab. That's all this is. Mike Tyson, if he goes there and fight Tyson Fury today, we all know he would get beat by Tyson Fury. And that's not because we're saying Tyson Fury, no matter the time period. No, Mike Tyson's old. He's old. He's in his fucking late 50s or mid 50s, whatever. He's old. He's in fantastic shape for his age. And he would definitely beat the brakes off of anybody in his age group out there in the streets. But when it comes to the elite level of boxing, Mike is not there. And he knows that, and he's okay with that because he knows his time went and gone. So him fighting Logan, obviously he's going to knock, I think he'll knock Logan out. I mean, I think he'll knock Logan out, but Logan is not, he has a, outside of fighting Floyd in a sham fight of the year, like, come on. I don't have anything good to say about this. I just don't. It's just going to be a rant.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I'm actually not mad at this fight. I'm not mad at this fight.
I thought Spence was gone for this episode.
Hear me out. I'm not mad at this fight because I feel like, one, I'm not really mad at Logan Paul. He talks nowhere near the amount of shit that his brother talks.
Okay.
So, you know, like he's, for the most part, he's quiet. He doesn't really say a lot of shit. Yeah, he goes out and fights these janky ass fights, but at the same point in time, he shuts up. Cool. I'm not mad at that. Mike Tyson, he's making money and he's like, hey, I could really knock this guy out anytime I want. You know what I mean? Like he can't fuck with me. Like he just can't, you know? So, I mean, who really loses here? If Mike Tyson goes in and knocks him out or just puts on a show, he does whatever we expect him to do. Does anybody really believe that Logan Paul has a chance to beat Mike Tyson, no matter how old he is?
Absolutely. I think there's people that do believe it. There's, believe it or not, the Paul brothers, they have believers. And I'm not talking about the YouTube supporters and the social media support. I'm talking about like people who actually watch boxing. There's some people that's starting to believe in them. And what they're doing is incredible. It's wonderful because they should have invested their energy and time in pro wrestling because they're making the crowd believe their shit. It's crazy.
You know, but here's the one good thing about this fight though. Do you think that Mike Tyson is going to go in there and like just go half ass with him? You know what I mean?
No, I think Mike Tyson is going to go in there to fight him kind of like how he wanted to go in there and fight Roy Jones.
Exactly.
And I think Logan Paul is going to trade his ass off to, you know, do his best to survive. You know, I don't think Logan is going to tell him and Jake, they can't afford to take a dive because people already think that they're fucking clowns.
Exactly.
So they're trading hard to prove like, hey, we want to be boxers, even though the majority of the world is against them. But at the same time, I just look at it as kind of like, this is just, it's shitty. Now, will I watch this? Yeah, I'll watch it if I know somebody who's going to pay for it or if I can watch it for free, you know, from somebody else. But as far as the money, because you know this is going to be like $80 or $90 pay-per-view. I'm not buying that.
I'm not.
Because it's not worth the money. It's bullshit.
Nah, I would never spend money on this. That's crazy. Would I like to see Mike Tyson possibly knock out a Paul brother? I'm down for that. I mean, I don't see why not, you know? He's putting himself in the ring against him. Yeah, you know, if he gets knocked out by him, then it's like, you know, so be it. That's kind of like what you're asking for when you're fighting Mike Tyson, whether it be in his prime or when he's 50.
Right, exactly. 100%. Fuck the Paul brothers, man.
Now,
I let me say this.
Okay.
I respect the fact that they're going in there and actually going in there and box. You know, I always was a firm believer of like, if you're a tough man, prove it. And they're proving it. Even though they're you know, gimmicking their way and shimming and shamming and scamming their way through the fights, they're actually getting in the ring and training and actually participating in fights, whether they're bullshit or not. So I got to give them credit for that because they're doing things that a lot of these fucking rappers won't do. And so I don't hate them for that. No. But when it comes to like the arrogance and shit, yeah, I don't fucking like it. I just think because like you guys are not fighting real boxers, or if you are fighting real fighters, they're obviously not decent level competition. It's fucking people that you should be winning against.
I mean, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, these are people who aren't like, this isn't anybody in the top 10 boxing. You know what I mean? Top 15, right. Any of that. Mike Tyson is doing this like kind of for fun, kind of like the Roy Jones fight. You know what I right. mean? Now, I'm not sure if Mike Tyson thinks like, hey, after this, like I'm really trying to box somebody for real. But I mean, I don't know, because it to me, it just looks like, hey, he's going to try and go and he's going to try to knock Logan Paul out. You know what I mean? And I don't really see what else he would get out of that other than money. You know what I mean?
I think we should make this a professional bout. Fuck it.
That'd be interesting. It'd probably be Logan Paul's first, right?
No, it'll be like his, I want to say, second professional bout.
I don't know.
He had one amateur, one exhibition, one professional. Yeah, so this would be his second professional bout. Him versus Mike Tyson. Make a professional bout, man. Let's see if Mike Tyson could officially retire with a win.
Do you think that Mike Tyson or Logan Paul will put any of their winnings into Bitcoin?
I wouldn't be surprised if both of them have already been doing it with their past sets of income.
It's crazy because Bitcoin has actually reached an all-time high of $66,000. It has been floating around $40,000 for a while, and then over the past few weeks has shot up to $66,000. And a lot of people are making a lot of money. The crypto market is shooting up and a lot of people are happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Nigel and I are benefiting from this fucking boost, and we're going to benefit in years to come. Listeners, you are listening to two future millionaires.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not. Because guess what? You're going to be spit shining our shoes and we don't give a damn. You're going to get on your knees and grovel at us. You're going to acknowledge us. You're going to acknowledge me as your tribal chief, and you're going to make sure that our shoes are fucking clean.
So what is the first thing you want the listeners to do once you get your first million?
When I get my first million, I want the listeners to bow down and look up and see what it's like to have the stars glaring back at them in their face. I want them to see what a real success story looks like. I want them to look at a fucking dream, and I want them to see like, wow, one day I could do what he did. Please give me the answers. And all I'm going to tell them is, you know, you got to peep the math and peep the science.
Yeah, no, I look forward to retiring from my job. Hopefully one day I can retire from my job, at least buy a house with this crypto shit. You know what I mean? Like I'm really just, like in the way that crypto is rising, and according to a lot of people who are into the crypto space, the predictions, I'll say, people predict that Bitcoin could possibly reach 100,000 by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's gonna, like I said, you're listening to two future millionaires. Actually, technically speaking, everybody in this podcast are future millionaires. It's just Spence is just enjoying his time out in the islands right now, you know?
Getting old.
And he's with a couple tings, and he's teaching them how to peep the science. So
now, I'm not sure if you knew about the whole Bitcoin ETFs that happened in like the past couple of weeks or whatever, but pretty much long story short, they've been trying to get ETFs approved in the United States for Bitcoin. And as soon as they did, Bitcoin reached the 66,000 benchmark. And at the same point in time as that first ETF was passed, there were three more that were passed as well. So if you saw the jump for 66 off of one, you would assume with three more, you're going to see another big jump.
Listeners, you're listening to two future millionaires. If you don't understand all this knowledge being given to you, you're dumb as a box of rocks.
Yes.
And not only you're dumb as a box of rocks, but I think crayons that are sitting in the box in a store shelf is going to have more success than you. So if you're not listening to this math, you're not listening to this science, then boo-hoo, fuck you. So,
so while we're getting our millions of dollars, I will be listening to Long Live ASAP on Spotify or Apple Music or whoever wants to sponsor us in the future.
Yes.
You know, I've been waiting for this mixtape to actually hit streaming services for a long time. It's probably my favorite ASAP Rocky project.
Yeah, a lot of people love this project. This is the project that blew him up, that yep. put him and the whole ASAP mob on the map. And on the map, excuse me. But it's so interesting that it's now finally going to come on streaming services. It's just... it's really interesting. And I wonder if it was a bunch of sample clearance issues or publishing rights. I don't know. But, you know, shouts out to the real big fans of the mixtape, because it was a damn good one.
Now, what song are you looking forward to listening to off the mixtape?
That Breaker Dang, that Lil B.
What song is that?
I forgot the title, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, Schoolboy Q. Yeah, that song. Yeah. That song is a shit.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm trying to hear that song with ASAP Ferg where he's singing. He's like, no.
That was our first introduction to
ASAP Ferg, man.
The real ASAP Ferg. Fergenstein. Yeah. Before he took this left turn.
That was Lords Never Worry. I think that's what, like, a lot of people, when they first got that first glimpse of ASAP Ferg, that's really what put him on, for real.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the original work song was on that project, Lords Never Worry. Yeah. That project, it was a solid project overall, because people got introduction. Not obviously they got further introduction to ASAP Rocky, but you have Ferg, then people started recognizing 12E, yep. then people recognized Nas.
Yep.
And then that was my introduction to ASAP Ant, first yep. time ever. And it was such an unfortunate introduction, because ASAP Ant had one of the worst fucking verses on that project at all. And now it's safe to say he's definitely redeemed himself tenfold since that moment. But it you know, it's a piece of history. Shouts out to the ASAP mob, man. They're culture.
You know what, though? On that song where ASAP Ant had that verse that I wasn't the biggest fan of either, that was my first time hearing Flatboy Zombies. And yeah, I really liked it.
And that's another thing about the ASAP mob, man. They kind of put on some of these acts that we would have probably never heard of, at least for a while. And that project right there was the first time I was listening to Fat Trail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he was on that drug. He was on Coke and White Bitches.
Yeah, Coke and White Bitches.
Yeah, he was on that, man.
Danny Brown was on there too.
Danny Brown, he was another one that I got introduced to the ASAP mob. So the ASAP mob, not only they were introduced, but they were introducing other artists as well. And I think that's why I think they're culture, man. They're for the early 2010s, they definitely influenced a lot of rappers. Or not necessarily rappers, they influenced a lot of styles and themes.
It's crazy, man. Like, at that point in time, we were listening to there was so much going on in music around that time. Yeah, Waka Flocka was really big at that time.
Yeah.
Wiz Khalifa just put out Kush and OJ. That was like the beach ride anthem, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There was all types of shit going on. And then you had like the janky shit that I didn't like Travis Porter, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. With the good, you also had the bad. But yeah. The early 10, I would say the 2010s definitely had some ups and downs, man, but the ups were pretty good.
I think the ups were definitely bigger than the downs. Like, unlike, I would say right now, the downs are a little bit bigger than the ups, because
yeah.
the people who are actually rapping, like who actually, not even, fuck that. The people who are making, I would say, the better sounding music are just kind of looked over. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. And I know a lot of people agree with you. Where there's some people that we know, some people that we don't know may disagree with us, because the hot topic of today is the auto-tune eccentric rappers, where the rappers, for some reason, they just cannot rap without it, to the point where it motivates them and influences them to start singing, and they're not singers. So I just think I agree with your point. It's just an interesting time for rap right now. I don't know. It's interesting.
I do have a question for you. Now, I know you weren't here last week when we talked about Young Thug's new album, Punk.
And okay.
We spoke about it kind of here and there. And me personally, to me, that album sounds more like I don't even want to say. It doesn't sound like a rap album. It's probably the easiest way to put it for me, right?
I agree.
So with that being said, a lot of these rappers that me and you listen to that use more of the auto-tune, I would say the pain rap, where they talk about their pain and struggles and, you know, people who have died in their life. Would you consider them to be rappers for the most part, or do you consider their rap, their music to be more on the not rap side? Because I don't want to call it R&B, because I feel like that's disrespectful to R&B singers.
Okay, I was going to call it R&B until you said that, and you're right. That is disrespectful to R&B singers, because they're actually fucking singing and they're putting our, you know, putting real work to the microphone.
Right.
So it's, they need to make the genre official, melodic rap or alternative rap, whatever. Yes. Because it's not real rapping, man. You can't tell me somebody like Benny the Butcher or even lesser known guy like Ransom and Rose Streets. You can't say who they're, all three of those guys I just mentioned, they're fucking rapping. And you compare them to the superstars today, your Lil Durks, Lil Babies, et cetera, et cetera. You can't say like, oh, these guys are rappers and these guys are rappers when they're fucking singing. I don't get it. And there's nothing wrong with being versatile, right? Because we listen to Drake and we listen to Kanye who blend the two. And we all like Lil Wayne back in the 2000s. But the problem with the Lil Durks, those genre of guys, is they sing a fucking whole lot. And when they do the rapping, it's like one or two songs out of a 20 track project. Then they do a deluxe, which has another 7 to 8 songs onto it, and it's more fucking singing. And it's crazy. So you can't tell me that it's not crazy. So like when Lil Durk released that song, was it Piss Me Off or whatever, yeah, like the fuck? I was like, this is a breath of fresh air. I can't believe he would release a song like this as a single. Cause I'm like, he's actually fucking rapping. Like, I hope his next album, he's rapping a whole lot, like how he did with Piss Me Off. Because that's gonna entice me. That's gonna make me want to go listen to it. Cause I'm like, this motherfucker is rapping. Now we're talking. But I know it's not gonna be like that. And I know that some people that we know, it's not going to enjoy that because they want to hear the auto tune on the fucking piano guitar beat. So it's just.
That's what it is, though.
Here we are.
You know, there is one person who I said, you know, I would love to hear more songs like Piss Me Off, and they, you know, vehemently disagree with me. So What I'll say is this, right? Like, it would be different if I felt like these rappers who do the style of like the pain rap did things that I like that other rappers do well. You know what I mean? Like rhyme scheme and, you know, their flows are pretty on point. So I'm not going to take that away from most of these rappers who do that. But like, as far as like wordplay, rhyme scheme, they don't necessarily excel in that. But so they make up with that with like the more melodic rap, I feel. And I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing. Me personally, I'd like to hear a little mixture of the two. And usually when they are rapping, like you said, it's not high level rap. It's like, oh, okay, they rap. You know what I mean? Thankfully.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I like Gunna. I think Gunna is a dope artist and I like his music.
Yes.
Gunna is nowhere near top, the upper echelon of rappers, because he the motherfucker doesn't really rap like that. You know what I mean? He sings a lot. Sometimes he'll rap this, rap that, but that's it. And that's okay, because that's his lane. What I don't like is these fans saying, these are the best fucking rappers in the game. This rapper is going to sell 150,000 because, you know, it's ridiculous. And I think that's fucking crazy, man. That's crazy. And I've said it multiple times in this podcast. I like your Playboi Carti. I like Lil Uzi. Hell, I like Trippie Redd. I like Nav. And what do those four have in common? They use autotune. But at the same time, I don't listen to them heavily nonstop, because it's like, all right, enough. Like, I can't listen to this shit nonstop. Not for rap music. If I'm not in the mood for rap music, sure. But it's just not rap to me, man. It's not rap. Like, it needs to be a part of another genre. It sounds good, but it's not rap.
No, I hear you. I hear you. So do we have anything else for the listeners? We've kind of came to the end of the show here. That was a kind of impromptu, our feelings on that. But do you, we have anything else for them?
I want to say is shouts out to you, Spence, for carrying the show for while I was out. Thank you guys for definitely carrying the show. And I know that, you know, more work than usual was placed on you two guys because of my absence. I mean, and I was absent for a good reason. So
of course.
let's not make it like I just
disappeared. Well,
but you guys understand that. So we definitely don't need to like explore that type of conversation. So thank you guys for that. I hope the listeners enjoyed listening to you guys together as much as I did, because I think you guys were a good tandem. Now that I'm back, the ratings and the subscribers are going back up. So it's all good, man. I just think that I just think that you guys did a great job. And shouts out to all the listed subscribers. Make sure you follow us at Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram, Advise Highly on Twitter. And make sure you subscribe to us on the YouTube at Highly Advised Podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment, share, recommend, whatever the fuck, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever other streaming platforms you get your podcast. Make sure you motherfucking leave a comment, leave a rating, a review, share to your friends, and let people know, like, hey, listen to these guys, or we're breaking your motherfucking neck. So fuck with us. We fuck with y'all. This is how we do it. Make sure you follow me, Big Cozy, Too Cozy at Instagram. Nigel, drop your social account, my friend. And fuck all y'all.
This is Relaxing OG underscore Jackson. I'm glad to have Big Cozy, Too Cozy back to the podcast. It feels like I would like to have us all three together, you know what I mean, which will be happening soon. But definitely, this has been an interesting part of the podcast journey that, you know, that we all are on. And yeah, you know, you've been highly advised. We'll see you next week.
Boom.
You've been highly advised.